From the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network, it's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Good to have you along on this weekend. Another weekend in Michigan as we make our way towards September. I know it's August. Shut up, Duran, right? Got bear season to talk about. Bear hunting. A lot of things going on. And myself, Sarah Marie, Russ Bartell, Team Wild Michigan are going to be up in Cadillac this weekend on Saturday for the DNR's School on Black Bear Hunting. We'll have a full report. We'll get some audio from some folks out there and share that with you next week here on the show. Appreciate you joining us. If you want to follow us online, our website, wildmichiganradio.com, and on the Facebook as well. Find us at Wild Michigan and on Twitter at Wild Michigan, brought to you by Lucky Buck Deer Mineral, HHA Sports, Michigan United Conservation Clubs, and Costa Sunglasses, who we'll be talking with here in a little bit as well. But right now, we're going to speak with Bill Hoffman from the Land of Lakes, Land O' Lakes Bowman, an archery range facility in Fenton, Michigan. Been around since 1954. Bill, I don't think you've been around since 1954, but welcome to the show.
No, I haven't been, but my family has been, and my wife's grandfather actually was one of the founding members back in 1954, so my roots go deep in this archery club.
You know, and that's cool. That's what we see about a lot of these places, like the Capital City Sportsman's Club, the Capillary Sportsman's Club, rather, Thorny Acres Archery Club, which I believe was founded in 1964. I'm going to get yelled at for that. But, you know, because I'm a member out there, and they're a great bunch of folks. But there's a lot of these clubs that have been around for a very long time. But because of schedules, because of lives changing and more work being required and less time for anything else, some of the clubs are kind of shrinking in size. But you guys, it seems, that are doing okay, and you got big events coming up, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But how's the membership holding on there at Land O' Lakes?
Actually, we've been very blessed. We have a lot of members, our life members, and that means 25-plus years as members. But we're starting to get now into the fourth generation. Wow. Of our original members are starting to, you know, they're turning 18, and they're also joining the club. And, you know, with the advent of social media and our website, and that's what I take care of the club. I'm on the board of directors. I'm the social media director. We've really started reaching out, and I can't tell you the last time we had a board meeting where we weren't ratifying new members into the club, so it's a great thing.
No, that is a good thing, because like I say, there's a lot of clubs that are kind of losing numbers, losing you know, the amount of people coming to events on a yearly basis because of everything that's going on. And I'm not quite sure how, you know, the 40-hour work week turned into much more than that, but it kind of has for so many people.
Yeah, and, you know, there's only so much time that people have to spend in the hunting and the fishing and the outdoors. And we've been lucky that they're spending a lot of that time with us just to prepare for their upcoming seasons. We see a big uptick in archery events and shooting when we can't be out hunting. So we're here to provide that service and the facility.
Bill Hoffman is joining us here from the Land O' Lakes Bowman out of Fenton, Michigan. They got a big event coming up here in the next few weeks. So tell me a little bit about the facility itself there in Fenton.
Sure, yeah. We are located in Fenton, Michigan, just off of U.S. 23. We have 44 acres of property. It's all rolling hills and wooded. We have one big open field, and that's our, you know, 60-yard-plus practice range. We have 3D courses that we set every week, as well as broadhead courses that we set. We do lots of monthly shoots, couples nights. And the cool thing about our club is we do have members, and we are membership-based. As a member, they get access to the club anytime they want. But every event and everything we do is open to the public.
And that's important, too, because that way people who have never seen a club or never been asked to join a club can kind of walk in and look around themselves, you know, maybe shoot the range, get comfortable on the range for the first time and decide then, you know, hey, this is pretty cool. Maybe I want to be a part of it.
Yeah, and it surprises me still to this day. People know what 3D targets are, but they don't necessarily know what a 3D shoot is. You know, a guy buys a target at a local sporting goods store, takes it home in his backyard, and shoots it. But what we provide is actual hunting lifelike situations on a wooded course where you walk from target to target and you shoot. And this is going to give you the opportunity to shoot everything from a dinosaur up to elk and above. So we have quite a herd of targets and to provide a fun variety for everyone.
Bill Hoffman is our guest here on Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. You can find us on podcast as well as our website at our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Bill, you've got a big event coming up August 22nd, 23rd at the Land O'Lakes Bowman Club in Fenton. And this is going to be like 100 3D targets. It's going to be a big event.
Yeah, well, if it's everyone's familiar, or most people are familiar with the Reinhardt 100, which is a big event that travels the nation, and we figured, heck, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So we're doing the Land O'Lakes 100. We have basically four course 3D courses that'll be set up during the weekend. It's a Saturday and Sunday event. You can come and you can shoot Saturday and Sunday unlimited if you want. You can shoot them all day Saturday or just all day Sunday. We're going to have a pig roast as well Saturday night. And one thing that makes our club unique, we have our own campground. And our campground is 100% free. So come out, shoot Saturday, pitch a tent, eat some pig, wake up Sunday morning, shoot again. Just have an absolute ball right at our own club.
You know, and that sounds to me like an absolute blast because, I mean, look, you can't camp for free anywhere. Really, you can't unless you got your own backyard that you can do it in. But to be able to be out and practice 3D archery in real-life hunting situations, if you've never done it, I highly recommend it because it gives you opportunities. And I want to ask before I go on about this, do you have elevated platforms on the property?
Multiple elevated platforms, so you get real-life tree stand-like shooting conditions. And generally, at the elevated platforms, we'll have multiple targets. So they'll be set out from, you might have a 10-yard shot on a buck and a 20-yard shot on a bear. So we make the most out of those platforms. Now, we're also going to have targets that are moving, you know, something that's kind of fun, you know. Maybe there's a grizzly bear charging you and you got to get an arrow into it before it gets to you. Or there's a doll sheep coming down a hill like it's on a mountainside. So lots of novelty shoots and just a different type of theme. You know, we like to make them real. We'll take a bear target and stick his head in a 55-gallon drum, just like you would have if you were bear hunting in Michigan.
That's fantastic. And, you know, again, no better way to get prepared for angles and situations than to do 3D shooting. I do it myself. I absolutely love it. And this sounds like a great time. 22nd and 23rd, Land O'Lakes 100 going on at the Land O'Lakes Bowman in Fenton. I'm looking at the website right now at landolakesbowman.com. And, of course, you can do the unlimited weekend shooting with camping for $50. You can do the one time all 100 shots for $35, and then there's some other breakdowns for that as well. And Bill, I can't tell you how much fun this is probably going to be.
Yeah, it's going to be a blast. We have a huge raffle. We are giving away a bunch of bows, a bunch of tree stands, a bunch of equipment. There'll be a bunch of vendors there working on bows, selling stuff. There's just going to be an opportunity to walk out with some really cool door prizes. And the most important thing about the entire weekend, 12 and under shoot free.
There it is, a definite family event. Bill Hoffman, appreciate you joining us. Thank you so much. LandO'LakesBowman.com. Look them up. There will be a link on our website, WildMichiganRadio.com, here on the Michigan Talk Network, brought to you by Lucky Buck Deer Mineral out of Osseo, Michigan, Lucky-Buck.com. Get down in that Georgia clay and Alpine peaks at the bottom of a real tall cold drink, chilling to some Skinner or some Mohawk.
you can send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan.
Turn the quiet up, turn the noise down. Let this old world just spin around.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I am Duran Martinez on the Michigan Talk Network all over the Great Lakes State. As of 10 o'clock Thursday morning, the DNR reports that there is a third, has been a third deer confirmed, found with CWD because of hunter participation. It's going to be critical this fall. Okay, we now have a third case. We now have a third deer found, and they're finding that genetically they are all related within the same family, essentially. So within the same area, within the same family, that's kind of a good thing, but not really good because it's CWD, and it's going to be really thinning out the herd in an area of Meridian Township here in Michigan. An area my good friend Steve Gruber and host of the Steve Gruber Show on many stations of this Michigan Talk Network works on. And Steve joins us right now, and you are in Charlevoix, sir?
Well, I'm looking at Lake Charlevoix from the southern end, which puts me in Boyne City.
Oh, sure.
And actually, I was out cruising around this morning and saw a nice year-and-a-half-old buck in velvet running with a doe, and I thought, what a beautiful morning. And Lake Charlevoix looks just spectacular today. And tonight, you know, on your Wild Michigan folks, people that know this area know that Charlevoix and Walloon and Deer Lake and a bunch of lakes in this area are all fabulously fabulous for fishing. I'm going to go target the smallmouth tonight in Lake Charlevoix. Never done it, but I see, you know, 15 boats a night out there. There must be something going on. I mean, they're all kind of together in the same area. I'm thinking they're not out there for their, for, you know, just to entertain themselves not catching something. So we'll see what happens. But, you know, I saw that same thing you saw on Thursday morning, Duran, which was the press release from the DNR and Chad Stewart saying deer number three, all related. And as you know, I have a small farm that's right in the epicenter. It's maybe 3 or 4 miles from where these deer have been found there in Meridian Township. So for me, not good news, very depressing. But I guess what you just focused on might have some positive to it, which is it's a family unit.
Sure.
And hopefully, so there's been two does and one buck, if I'm right about that, which means maybe it's mom and two fawns from 5 years ago. At least that's my hope. When I first thought, I said, well, maybe they're a family unit, mom and the two kids that, you know, contracted the disease. Still not great news, but it's better news. At least they're still concentrated in the same area. Deer coming in from farther out, and there's been a few still not testing positive in the outer reaches.
Well, this one, a 5-year-old doe, was found to have CWD, so that pretty much puts it close to the age of the first doe.
Well, sure, but they could be,
so, you know,
they could be within a few months of each other.
Right.
One could be a child of mom. It could be one of her offspring, clearly.
Sure, 6 months.
Let's be honest. Aging deer is not an exact science. You don't run down to the health department and get a birth certificate. So, you know, they could be off by a little bit, Duran.
Right, I get it. Fair enough. I'm used to the I like exact science.
Well, I understand.
But, so you live in that area, and you've had tags. Have you filled any of those tags?
I've got to be honest with you, Duran. I've got 5 tags. Disease tags, if you will. And I could be out right now with a centerfire, high-powered rifle. I've got 5 of them that Ivy and I can fill on our farm. And I just haven't. Now, for a couple of reasons. First of all, there are very specific ways you need to handle a deer that's in an area with CWD. Okay, you have to take the head off. You have to take it in. You have to debone all the meat. You have to make sure that that meat is isolated, if you will, while the tests are being run on the head to see if the deer is positive or negative. Now, generally speaking, I'm going to believe they're going to come back negative and the deer is going to be, you know, certified disease-free.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's 85 or 90 degrees, you got to move quick. And if you don't have, I mean, in the fall, if you hang the deer up in the garage for a day or in the early winter, no big deal. It's cool enough. You can't hang a deer in the garage. This time of year, you'll have every fly in the neighborhood coming to make new flies in your garage. Bad
sure.
situation. So I've avoided for that reason. And I got to be honest with you, bringing myself to shoot a doe right now who's probably got a couple of fawns somewhere back in the weeds. I don't know, Duran. It's been I'm not ready to do that yet.
Sure, I understand that. A fair point for sure. But you know, right now, I mean, they are testing these deer everywhere possible with the deer they're taking from the herd in Meridian Township, even roadkill deer they're taking, and really taking a proactive approach. And again, fortunately, if there is any kind of silver lining to this whole thing, is because this happened in July and not late September.
No, and that's true, and I'll give you that. So I guess, you know, clearly, and the press release from Chad Stewart of the DNR outlined this, clearly they're going to have to rely heavily on hunters. They're hoping that hunters don't just say, well, I'm not interested this year because of the disease. I mean, the hunter and the hunter participation is going to be critical to figuring out how far this ripple goes out. How far does the CWD go out? What is the incident of infection out there? How many of the deer have it? What is the percentage actual in the population? Or is it concentrated right there? Let's be honest. I know this from many years of hunting urban deer. Urban whitetails have a much smaller home range, thankfully, than deer out in the great wide open. So hopefully, maybe we're going to get lucky here, Duran. At least I have this little glimmer of hope yet that maybe it's concentrated right there on the edge of Hazlet because they're urban deer. Maybe they didn't wander as far as a deer, say, out in the great wide open. You know what I mean? So I'm kind of hoping that happens because for me, with my property, if you start to find deer that are 4 miles out or 5 miles, well, then your problem is much more significant because then sure. That means that my children will not enjoy deer hunting, not in my neighborhood, not on my farm, the way I did for sure. I mean, it can affect things for a generation or two or three. We're just not sure yet.
Absolutely. Steve Gruber is our guest. They're here on Wild Michigan, brought to you in part by HHA Sports, number one name in single pin archery sight technology. So briefly, what is, let's put the CWD behind us. I mean, we know it's out there. We know the third one's been found. We'll wait for more information from Chad Stewart and the rest of the guys at the DNR. But what is on tap for you up at Lake Charlevoix right now?
Well, it is, it's northern Michigan. It's August. It's spectacular. I'll be honest with you. I did something with my daughter yesterday, not quite up your alley, but close enough, Duran. And if you get the chance, try this out. Wildwood Rush. He has a place right on the edge of Boyne City here on the southern edge of Lake Charlevoix. It's a zip line canopy tour, which I didn't even know existed in Michigan. So you're on zip lines. Yeah, I did it. I'm old enough. And no, I didn't end up in the emergency room. Thank you for your concern. But you're 100, 200, 300 feet in the air on zip lines, you know, zipping to the woods, giggling like a school kid. That was actually great fun. And they did a great education about the trees and the flowers and the birds that, you know, frequent the area. And then Lake Charlevoix, of course. Lake Charlevoix, my understanding, is the best stocked lake in Michigan. I've done a lot of reading. For whatever reason, the DNR puts a lot of, you know, here, well, we got a few of these, throw it in. We got a bucket of that, throw it in. Great! Stock Lake Charlevoix, right? But it doesn't get fished the way some other lakes do. It just doesn't get pounded because you've got Lake Michigan right there.
Sure.
It's kind of like guys that go out west to go deer hunting. They don't go out west to hunt whitetails. They go out west to hunt mule deer. And here, they don't really come to Lake Charlevoix to fish Lake Charlevoix. They come here to fish Lake Michigan. So I think Lake Charlevoix might be this tremendous, you know, pretty well-kept secret. So I'm going to go bust open the secret and see if I can find some smallmouth, some northerns. You get steelhead and salmon that come in here as well because you've got the big channel that runs right out to Lake Michigan. From Lake Charlevoix, you can go anywhere in the world, and so those fish can come in from the Great Lakes as well. So I'm pretty fired up. I don't know. I've never fished it, but I've got the boat ready, and we're going to go check it out.
All right. Well, we'll be looking forward to pictures. Send me the texts. Send the pictures. We'll post them up on the Facebook page, facebook.com/wildmichigan. Thank you so much, Steve Gruber. You can check him out mornings with the Steve Gruber Show here on the Michigan Talk Network.
Send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. So good to have you here on the Michigan Talk Network, brought to you by MUCC, helping defend our rights to hunt, fish, and trap in Michigan. Join them, MUCC.org. Very great organization. Very happy to have them on board as a family member of Wild Michigan. If you have not read, Field & Stream magazine is reporting that there is a problem in Holmes County, Ohio. And before we get to our next guest, Mark Esch, I want to read this to you briefly. The state's Division of Wildlife in Ohio is going door-to-door to solve its 19 confirmed cases of CWD in the area, and they can all be traced to a single location, a world-class Whitetails of Ohio, a deer hunting preserve and breeding facility, which officials first quarantined last fall. Now, because of the CWD's severity, wildlife officials are now covering ground on foot, hoping to harvest and sample whitetails within a three-mile radius of the preserve to see how far the disease has spread. According to the Daily Record in Ohio, last October, world-class whitetails owner Daniel Yoder disobeyed orders from the Ohio DNR, or the Ohio Department of Agriculture, which oversees deer farming, to isolate his deer as the fatal disease, the state's first case of which in either wild or farm-raised deer seems to have originated at that facility. So far this summer, 500 deer have been euthanized and tested for CWD at Yoder's facility to contain the disease. And as we mentioned on our Facebook post, this is not typical of the really good organizations like Conquest, Sense of Michigan, Conquest 200, the Deer Farm in Davison, Michigan. Okay, look, Doug Roberts, Karen Roberts, they are what I believe to be the epitome of a great facility for farm-raised deer. Places like this one in Ohio, places like the one in Kent County a few years back that had an issue with CWD and then tried to sneak deer out under cover of darkness are giving these facilities a bad name. Okay, so now everybody in Ohio is suffering because of it. Everybody, because of one person and his inability to follow the rules. Again, they should be the ones responsible financially for the burden that is being put on the state because of CWD being found in those deer and his inability to contain his deer. Again, just some news coming out of Ohio. Sorry, Mark Esch, my good friend, taxidermist at Wildlife Reflection Taxidermy. We have seen numbers go down as far as the harvest from last year. This year, we've got two confirmed cases of CWD in Meridian Township. Now they're testing the one deer, the male buck, 2.5 years old, to see if it's genetically linked to the 5.5-year-old doe that was found. Did your numbers, as far as being a taxidermist is concerned, did you see a drop in numbers last year?
Just a little bit. I think that was due to the EHD that was found up here the year before. But yeah, not terribly bad. I do a lot of deer from out of state also. But yeah, definitely we're down, and hopefully not even down again because of CWD.
Yeah, no, I mean, EHD last year, of course, was a big issue. I mean, we had, the year before, rather, there was a huge outbreak of it in the Maple River area. Of course, you are based in DeWitt. Right. That whole area, that got hit pretty hard.
It did.
You know, so, I mean, but now, you know, the fear of CWD, hunter retention being an issue, and that's why I guess I ask you the question, being a taxidermist, you know, have you seen kind of an impact thus far?
Yes. And I even talked to people that said they're not sure about even hunting in certain areas because of CWD now, too. So I hope guys don't think that they don't need to hunt just because they've been finding that Meridian Township.
No, I think we really need to do. We really need to hunt and get out. Yep. And you know, and look, if in the event there are actual more cases out there, they need to be found. Plain and simple.
Right.
But let's talk taxidermy with you. We're in the middle of fishing season right now in Michigan. The steelhead, coho, kings are starting to come in. Lake trout are coming in. Walleye. Are you seeing even big panfish right now? What is your what are you seeing for fish coming into your taxidermy shop?
Pretty good numbers. Not recently, but you know, a week or two ago and before that, quite a bit of smallmouth bass, bluegill, walleye, some real nice walleye, a couple pike. So pretty good numbers. Some guys are talking, so you know, it's definitely down on the walleye for the Saginaw Bay. I've heard that, but I'm doing pretty good here as far as going to get fishing.
Well, good. I mean, we've had pretty good years for walleye fishing. Of course, the spring and the fall are usually the times for big walleye, but should we get something in the summertime, give us some instruction as to how to best save our fish to get it to you, the taxidermist.
Sure. The best way to do it, if they can, is to, as soon as possible, to wrap it in like a wet towel, wet rag, and then put it in the trash bag and freeze it. Because what that does, it protects the color, protects the fins, so they don't get broken, and you know, and it can get freezer burn, get dried out. Well, that wet material will basically stop the freezer burn from happening. So it works really good for the texture, because they have a nice moist thing to work with when he gets it. Obviously, if you can't do that, is keep it in water, keep it as cool as possible, or in ice, before you can get it to the freezer. As we all know, you know, fish lose color pretty fast once they're out of the water. So just try to keep them, you know, in water or on ice, and then into the freezer.
You know, color is very important to you as a taxidermist. You know, to try and represent. I mean, you have a basic outline for like bluegill, for bass, for patterning and the like, but to preserve that color when it comes to you, that's important too, because every fish is unique.
It is. I say that every fish has different markings. You could have five bass, they're all a little different, especially trout, things like that too. Even bluegills, they're all a little different shades, a little different markings on the side. Yeah, they all have their uniqueness to it, so you want to see that as much as you possibly can.
Now, speaking with Mark Esch from Wildlife Reflection Taxidermy here on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network. Mark, here's another question I have regarding saving those little details of the fish that you catch that you want to have mounted. Have camera phones really helped much? Have the cameras on, you know, in our phones helped much for representing that species, or for the specimen, rather?
Yes, it does. Yeah, actually, the freshest picture, you know, right out of the water you can take is the better for the taxidermist. And again, same thing for colors, shades. I just got a bunch of fish in from the UP, and they're a little bit, you know, like smallmouth bass and a couple other fish, and they're a lot darker. They're not the usual bass catch around here. So yes, pictures help a lot. Plus that way too, you can go off that picture and say, okay, it was this shade compared to a generalized, you know, bass or pike or something like that. So that helps a lot.
No, and I think that's a very good point to bring up too, because as we are fishing, as we are hunting, you want to remember exactly, or at least as close to exact as how it was at that time. You know, to remember that moment, fish especially, because look, like you said, some smallmouth bass are kind of a copper color, some are more of a greenish color, depending on their habitat. And wanting to remember it as it came out of the water is definitely a way to go.
And that's very true. I've done smallmouth bass from the Grand Ledge area up to Torch Lake area. They're so different in color and shades and everything, markings. So yes, pictures make a big difference to get the original, you know, colors and everything back.
All right, Mark Esch is our guest, our good friend here from Wildlife Reflection Taxidermy, joining us on the Michigan Talk Network. Mark, If you don't mind hanging on, I'm sorry I ranted on you in the beginning. I just went off.
That's okay.
But it's a big issue, and it's going to cost a lot of people in Ohio and across the country a lot of money. It's something we really need to watch. So stick around, Mark. We're going to come back. We're going to talk more with you. We're going to talk a little bit about taxidermy, maybe how to prep your waterfowl, maybe how to prep your deer, because we are coming up on that season. Okay?
Yep.
We are getting there. Speaking with Mark Esch, Wildlife Reflection Taxidermy. This is Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Cross the line at an hour to time, in a state 94 more miles through the Great Lakes State. Turn it up so the bus ain't late, another night in Michigan.
Welcome Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I am Duran Martinez. Your website is wildmichiganradio.com. You're listening to us on the Michigan Talk Network. And again, you can follow us on social media. Follow us on Facebook if you'd like. Look for Wild Michigan Outdoors Radio Show. Or look for us on Twitter at Wild Michigan. I try not to rant on Facebook or in general here on the show. But the other day, I kind of got fed up with the Cecil the Lion thing. With the alleged poaching. And I'm saying alleged because there's been no convictions in this case yet. Okay, the outfitter, the guide, is right now being investigated over in Zimbabwe. But what really upset me is all the attention that is that one lion is giving. A lion that a lot of people probably in the area didn't even know about. But because the media has taken to the side of this case of this lion that's, you know, been protected for 13 years... And all the money that has been put into hunting in Africa that has benefited so many, one lion seems to be taking up all the media's time and attention. And for what? I'm unhappy that if this was really the case of poaching, uncool, completely uncool. But Beanie Babies and showing the pictures of you know, species on the side of the Empire State Building. You know, did they ever in New York show the 3,000 that were killed on September 11th? Did they ever show any of our men and women, service women, pictures of them or on the side of the Empire State Building? You know what? It's gone too far. We need to focus on what's important here in our country. And I honestly think that there are some people waking up to this fact. Is it too late? No, I don't think so. I think we need to take control of our emotions and quit letting the media dictate to us everything that we're doing. So that being said, I'm going to come down off my soapbox, talk about something positive. Drew Youngdyke is joining us here from Michigan United Conservation Clubs. And I bring that up also, Drew, because the SCI Foundation donated $40,000 for UP deer habitat, and that hardly got a sniffle if we hadn't mentioned it. You know, yourself, our website, and others, probably it would have gone unnoticed.
Well, you know, the DNR put out that press release, and it kind of got shuffled in with that. You know, I have a little bit different take on the Cecil Lion thing, just as far as this. To me, the story isn't in whatever it was that happened in Africa. And you're like, we don't know what that is yet. From some of the African Guides Association, they say that there wasn't a quota for the lion, for any lions to be hunted in that area. So if it was poaching, you know, you're absolutely right. That's uncool. But what's more important about that story is the attention that it's put on hunting and why it's so important for us as hunters to make sure that we're always following the laws in the field, because we're under a microscope because of this right now more than ever before. And to me, that's where that story is with this.
No, I agree with that 100% also. I mean, my dad, you know, we have discussions about this. I don't put myself on any form of level above or over anybody just because of this show or for anything else, you know, but I would hate to be a topic of conversation for the media to say, oh, look, outdoors radio host, you know, forgot to buy a small game license and now he's got five rabbits, you know, burn him. You know, I'm so wary about everything, and now even more so because of this.
Yep, but I think, you know, whether you're the host of a radio show or not, you know, every single hunter out there is now under the microscope, frankly, because the anti-hunters are looking for any little slip-up that they can capitalize on to attack our hunting rights. So let's not give them that ammunition. But you're right, you know, SCI Foundation donated $40,000 to Wildlife Habitat. You know, SCI does great works like that, but there's lots of conservation organizations all across the country that are doing things just like that. In fact, here at Nanquinean Point, there's plaques here from all the money that Ducks Unlimited has raised for all the dikes going around this wildlife area to keep it excellent waterfowl habitat. So that's what hunters do. And we're going to be celebrating that, you know, at Camo at the Capitol. That's why we're there. It's to improve the image of hunters, to make sure that our legislators are listening to us and are aware of our issues, and making sure that they're not carrying these media misconceptions about hunting that have come up in the last couple of weeks.
No, and that's a show of force. We, you know, the date is, I'll ask you that question, and this is a time, you know, that we need to stand together, whether we hunt ducks, pheasants, you know, whether we fish or our archers or trap shooters or whatever the case, whatever it is we do in the outdoors, this is a time that we really need to show our unity and let any other kind of sub issues just be left alone.
Yeah, you know, it's a very critical time for everybody who hunts, fishes, and traps, really, in America right now. Public attention is on us, and that's not necessarily a bad thing if we use it right. You know, we can use this opportunity while everybody's talking about hunting and conservation. We can use this opportunity, and frankly, Nick Pinizzotto of the U.S. Sportsman's Alliance has been doing a great job of this. Use this opportunity to tell the world about what hunters do for conservation. You know, while the spotlight's on us, while we're under the microscope, let's tell everybody about the great things that hunters do for conservation.
You know, and we can do so in a positive manner, too, and not, yep. You know, again, this is going to be a show of collective unity as hunters and anglers in the state to let our legislators know that that we have a voice.
Right. And sorry, you asked me for the date. That's going to be September 9th. It's a Wednesday. Of course, it's during the week. But, of course, that's when the legislature is in session, so that's when it has to be. So that's Wednesday, September 9th. If you can make it there, and it doesn't matter if you're formally affiliated with any group or anything like that, if you hunt, fish, and trap, come to Lansing, you know, wear blaze orange, wear some camo, let them know that you're there, that you're paying attention to what they do. And the issues that we're going to be lobbying them for are really the issues that hunters need to be focused on right now. We're going to limit poaching here in Michigan by stiffening the penalties for that. We're going to be protecting public land. We're going to be protecting the water where we hunt, fish, and trap. And then we're also going to be talking about reducing the safety zone for forms of hunting that it wasn't designed for. You know, like archery, like trapping, like hounding. You know, that 150-foot safety zone around, or 150-yard safety zone around buildings was really made for firearms. So we're going to be talking about one of our resolutions from this summer about reducing that safety zone for shorter range forms of hunting.
Again, important things that, you know, that will probably allow us to do more, you know, and have less, less unwarranted, you know, violation. You know, I mean, right. I'm trying to word this the right way. So, you know, we have more freedom to hunt, but still do so in a very safe manner.
Right. It still keeps it safe. What it really does is it opens up private land access for the landowner to be able to hunt. Because what this means is, let's say that you're in a tree stand, you're bow hunting, you have a downward trajectory with a short distance, or let's say that you're trapping, you know, along the side of your own house. Well, if you have a neighbor 150 yards away who doesn't like hunting, they could prevent you from hunting on your own property because they don't like hunting and trapping, even though you're so far away from them, it will never affect them.
Sure.
You know, so that's really what this is designed to get rid of.
You know, and I like it. I like the fact that we're looking into these things. And, you know, and with urban sprawl, we're getting into those areas. We have animals coming into our area where zoning is still allowed for maybe like bow hunting, things of that nature. We still have areas that we can do it. But because we might have some opposition from a neighbor, like you said, or something else, it's kind of a sticking point.
Right. You know, we have more deer coming into urban areas. You know, where they found, of course, the CWD deer was in Meridian Township, where they have an urban bow hunting program, you know, where they have to get landowner permission. What this does is opens up some doors that may be closed that would unnecessarily prevent a program like this from being implemented, you know, in a municipality. You know, we have a lot of deer in Ann Arbor, and they're going through that debate right now of what to do with them. You know, and what this will do is allow those communities to have more options on the table for how they take care of their deer problem. But, you know, along with hounding and along with trapping, it really just makes sure that we're respecting private property rights and allowing somebody to hunt on their own property without a neighbor unnecessarily interfering with it, you know, where it doesn't cause a safety concern.
Well, it's all important. It's important that we get along with our neighbors and we do so in a safe manner. But again, all for the hunting and fishing rights of those here in Michigan and around the country.
Absolutely. So September 9th, Camo at the Capitol.
All right, Camo at the Capitol. I will be there. You can find it on the website, wildmichiganradio.com. Also a link to mucc.org. Our friends here. Drew, thanks again. I'll let you get back to your European frog bit.
Thank you.
Appreciate what you're doing, man. Appreciate you getting outdoors. Thanks to everybody at Lucky Buck Deer Mineral, lucky-buck.com. Check the regs out before you put your lucky buck out. But when you do, know that it's Michigan made and it's high quality product. Thanks to Costa Sunglasses. Thanks to HHA Sports. All bringing us here to the Michigan Talk Network. I'm Duran Martinez. This is Wild Michigan.